Okay, so this week is Parshas Mishpatim, and everybody knows we went from the highest peak to the kind of lowest depths. 1 minute, we're standing in front of Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, and then the next minute we're, these are the laws that you should put in front of them if you buy a Jewish slave. How did somebody become a Jewish slave? Well, first they had to gamble away their inheritance, and then to substitute their income, they were stealing, they got caught, and now they have to pay the fine. They can't, so they get sold as a slave for 6 years. So we've come a long way. You know, in one fell swoop. So there's a complete sea change. Rashi says, Eile ha-mishpotim ashetosim lefneim, these are the laws that you should put in front of them. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu le-Moshe, God says to Moshe, don't let it enter your mind to say, you know what, I'll teach the Yidden the laws, I'll teach them once, I'll teach them twice, I'll teach them three times, until it's sedura b'fihem k'mishnosa. Like, you know, until they're fluent, until I say to them, okay, what's the law? And you can read it back to me, you know, like, last week I went for a California license, you know, and they said, here's this paper with the written questions, and it's like, oh my goodness, when was the last time I looked at a, you know, driver's handbook of rules of the highway and stuff, and I was like, terrified. But you know something? As soon as I started to answer the questions, it's like, how much alcohol are you allowed in the blood, 0.8 or 0.10 or 0.5? You know, so the answers started to come back to me. So I didn't make such a fool of myself, right? So I might have thought, God says to Moshe, that would be enough. You teach the Yidden the halacha, and then when they need to know the halacha, they'll be able to recall it. What was the halacha? How tall it has to be the sukkah? Oh, sukkah shigavoyim esrim amah. If it's higher than 20 amahs, it's posel. Okay, so now I know I've got to make it less than 20 amahs. Ve'eini matriach atzmi lehavinam tame adova. But I don't have to, like, go to all the trouble of actually making all the meanings of the mitzvahs and the thing of the Torah, I don't, that's not my job. Lekach ne'ema, therefore it says, Eile ha-mishpotim, these are the laws, ashetosim lifneihem, that you should put in front of them. It doesn't just say these are the laws that you should teach them. These are the laws that you should put in front of them. So Rashi says, k'shulchan aruch, like a table that's set for a meal. You have to put the Torah in front of them to the point where when they need something, it'll be there. They won't even have to recall it from memory. A Mishnah is something that you recite from memory. Vishinantam means to repeat. It's something that you repeat. You say it enough times until you can requote it from memory. That's not enough. It has to be seduro. It has to be laid out like a shulchan aruch, and that's why the shulchan aruch is called the shulchan aruch, because it means the laid table. Meaning that when you're sitting at a table and you're hungry, you reach out and there it is in front of you. All right, I mean, this is really, it's a mechilta. It's a Mechilta. So Rashi's quoting from a Mechilta, which is the early Medrash. So then the next Rashi is Lifnehem, in front of them. So Rashi's question is, first of all, it could have said Elem HaMishpotim, these are the laws, and just left it at that. So Rashi explains, Ashitosim, Lifnehem, you have to put it in front of them like a laid table. Then, Rashi wants to know why the word Lifnehem, in front of them. You could have just said Lohem, to them. Useps Lifnehem, in front of them. So Rashi brings a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says, in front of them, veloy lifnei oivdei avodah zarah, and not in front of idol worshippers or pagans, vafili yodata bedin acher, and even if you know, bedin echad, even if you know, in a certain law, shehem donin oise kedine Yisrael, that they give you the same, that the courts will give you the same effect, the same result, the same din as Jewish law. Al tviyeh be'erchus shelahem, you're not allowed to take a Jew into the goyish legal system. Shehamevi din Yisrael lifnei aramim, because anybody who takes a Jewish legal problem in front of a goy, mechalel es Hashem, he is defaming the name of God. Umeyakeh shem alilim, and you know, you're giving honor to the pagan. Lahashbicham, because in a sense you're saying, you know, we can't manage this on our own. We don't have a way, Judaism doesn't have a way of settling this legal problem. And, you know, we've got to have a settlement, so we're going to go through the goyish system. Shinema, kiloy kitzurei nitzurim, Rashi brings. So therefore the pasuk, the verse says, these are the commandments that you should put in front of them. In front of them. Meaning in front of the judges, in front of the dayonim, in front of the rabbonim, the people who know the Torah v'loy, and not in front of, it doesn't matter how learned the non-Jewish judge is, you don't have a right to. You know, this pasuk here has personally, it puts me through changes every year when I learn it, because one of the things that's happened in among the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov of this day and age, you know, there was a fight between the Hasidei Chabad and the Rebbe's family about the Russian government finally released some of the previous Rebbe's library that they had been holding since the revolution. And there was a big simcha in Chabad that it was allowed out of Russia, this collection of books. Big simcha, but then the previous Rebbe had two daughters, not just Menachem Mendel Schneerson's wife, but also another. And they said that they had rights to this property, it's their property. So the Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, said, you know, these books don't belong to me or to anyone, they belong to Hasidim, they belong to the Agudas Chabad, they're not personal private property, they're the property of all the Hasidim, and they need to be in the Hasidim's library, not in some person's home. And eventually, this court case became New York or Brooklyn, whatever it was, legal, it went into the legal system, you know, and I thought to myself, an oisname, an exception. And then the heirs of the Satmar Rebbe, you know, ended up in the New York State Supreme Court deciding whether a vote that the, you know, Hasidim had taken over who owns a cemetery plot, really, you know. You know, when I come to this pasuk, then I think to myself, I can't imagine the children of Rashi, you know, the grandsons of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Rashbam, Rivam, that if they had a machloikas, if they were fighting about who would inherit Rashi's papers, that they would end up in a French court. You know, I can't imagine that Reb Nachman and his cousins or whatever would end up in a Ukrainian court or a Russian court or a Polish court fighting about some halacha in the Choshen Mishpat, you know? And I feel sometimes that we've, you know, what does he say? That when the biggest rabbonim in the Hasidic world, you know, end up taking their legal difficulties or their fights, their struggles over property into, they have no recourse. What are they saying? What are they saying? We're saying that, you know, this is the end of Jewish law. This is the end of the Torah, because the Torah can't solve our problem. Because either there's nobody who knows the law that we would trust with a decision, or that we've no way of enforcing our own, legal decisions or whatever it is. It's the end of the Torah. You know, it's like it was very, this every time I come to this Sedra, to this Rashi, and I think, you know, how easy it is to, when I have a problem, say, I'll sue you, right? And then take this person who might be a Yid to court because I don't feel like I have a recourse through the Beis Din or whatever. You know, we really have to pay attention. What are we saying? Because if we're saying we can't, with the Torah can't help us deal with this particular difficulty, then we're really, like Rashi says, we're giving power to the other side and taking Zechil Hashem, right? Then this year, I came across a Kotzke, a vort from the Kotzke, who explains this Rashi in a whole new way, and I thought, I've got to share this with you, because he goes, listen what the Kotzke says. Kotzke says, there's a Torah that, yeah, just go out in the world, you know, ask somebody what the Bible is, and he'll tell you what the Bible is. Ask an average goy what the Ten Commandments is, and he can tell you more or less what they are, at least as well as most Jews, right? So the Kotzke says, if we look at this Rashi, and we see it as one long Rashi. First Rashi says, God says to Moshe, don't think it's enough just to make the Torah fluent in people's mouths. That's not enough. You've got to give them lahavinam tame hadava, the reasons, right? And that's why it says, like a Shulchan Aruch, you've got to put it out like a late table. And then the next Rashi is, lifneihem v'loy lifnei ovid kechovim. You've got to put if you have a legal problem, as elah mishpotim, you've got a mishpot, you've got some kind of a judgment that needs to be given, shetosim lifneihem, you've got to put it in front of the dayonim, in front of rabbonim, and not in front of a judge in the goyish system. So the Kotzke says, what God is saying to Moshe is, there's going to come a time when goyim are also going to have the Torah. They're going to believe in the Bible, in the Ten Commandments, and not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole, what they call the Judeo-Christian outlook. Right? So God says to Moshe, that is not enough. You have to give them a taste. So when it talks about the Shulchan Aruch, one of the things that we never look at in, when we translate this Rashi from this Mechilta says you've got to lay it in front of them like a Shulchan Aruch, is that the food has a taste, right? There are so many metaphors that could have been chosen when it says Ashitosim Lifnehem. Yeah, it could have used a metaphor of a chemveni with money lying on the table, a banker with notes on the table, you know, or a silversmith with pieces of jewelry or whatever. I mean, there were so many metaphors the Medrash could have used, but it says Kishulchan Aruch, so the Kotzke says that's what Rashi is saying about the tam, the taste. You haven't taught the Torah to someone unless he can understand why the Torah belongs to him as a Yid, and not to the whole world, and not to all the goyim. Which isn't to say that the goyim aren't entitled to learn the Torah. It's a book. They're entitled to the book, like everybody else. The whole world's entitled to the Torah. Willst lernen, gesinnt heit. But God says to Moshe, you haven't fulfilled the obligation to teach them Torah until every Yid has a taste. What does it mean, a taste? Shlomi used to talk about the idea of taste. That when you have the taste in your mouth, when you have the taste of the thing, you have the highest. And, you know, well, when we get to the Parsha of Pur Aduma, we talk about taste and how Moshe knew the tam of that Pur Aduma, meaning that Moshe could taste the life even in the dead thing, you know, because when we eat ashes, you know, for us, that's the paradigm of something that has no taste, ashes and water. So you take this beautiful cow that was alive, beautiful red, completely red, you know, full of life, and then you burn it until it's ashes. So it's gone, it's dead, right? But for Moshe Rabbeinu, he could still taste the life in it, because the truth is, the atoms from that make up the ashes of the Pur Aduma have as much life in them as that bio matrix that we call a walking living cow. It's all the same. And if you were to take, you know, apart a cell and then take apart the mitochondria from what it's made and stuff, like, you keep pulling everything apart looking for what life is, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. So the ashes from which the cow are made contain as much life as the living cow. Moshe Rabbeinu could taste that life, whereas we, because we worship the golden calf, so we couldn't taste the life in the dead thing anymore. To us, there's a difference between a dead thing and a live thing. God's saying to Moshe, there's a dead Torah and a live Torah. There's the Torah of words, Torah of stories, the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the Judeo-Christian ideal. And then there's a much deeper Torah, much deeper Torah. And you haven't fulfilled your obligation until you take the Yidden down, 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 each one into the taste of his own Torah, Hashetosim Lifnehem, until everybody knows, until you, until I know, as we're learning, this Torah is a Torah, this is a Yiddish Torah. And that it's that this Torah that we learn here, you and me, that we're learning here together, we haven't done anything, we haven't touched it, until we can reach down inside and say, ah, it's a Yiddish word. This is a Jewish word. This is my word. This is my Jewish word. This is Torah that is connected to my neshama, to my soul, and that there's something inside here that is ethnic Jewish. If I didn't get there, hab ich gar nicht gelernt, then I'm still at that oberflächlich, I'm still on the surface of things, where, you know, somebody can quote me, a goy can come up to me and quote me a verse, you know, and it's like, it's a foreign language. Hashitosim Nifni. So let's have a look. That was just by way of an introduction. I tell you something, you know what, if you ever learned with Shlomo Zalruin in Gan Eden, if you ever learned with Shlomo, you davened with Shlomo, you sang a niggin with Shlomo, if you were ever in that presence of a Yid who's an echte Yid, who's real, you know, there's something about this Kotzk Vort, right? What's the Indian of Kotzk? every chassidus had its thing, right? This one is about helping the poor. This one is about davening. This one is about avodah worship. This one, every, you know, in Kotsk, is it real? Right? That's all. I heard a story from Shlomo about Rabbi Chil Gustanina, how he became a Kotsk chassid. So the only question isn't like what are you doing or how are you doing or this, you know, how many mitzvahs you, how many Torah, how much Torah, how many hours are you learning or how good you're davening, or just like, is it real? Is it real? It's MS. So this Torah of the Kotzkes says that before and after you learn, if it doesn't touch you down at that level, if you can't taste it and say, Heilige Bashefer, this is the Torah, Holy Creator, this is my Torah that you gave me on Sinai when I stood there, and you know, I want to acknowledge and I want to say, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Noisin HaTorah, thank you for giving me. If you can't say that, then I'm not there yet, right? So this week in the pasuk it says, Va'avadetem es Hashem elekechem, and you'll serve God. U'beirach es lachmecho, and God will bless your bread. Ve'es meimecho, and your wine. And your water. V'hasiroisi machlo mikibecho, and I will I'll remove illness from among you. So this is a Torah from the Degel Machne Ephraim, who was a grandson of the Holy Baal Shem Tov, and he was with the Baal Shem Tov till after his Bar Mitzvah, so he grew up, and in almost every Torah he mentions something from his grandfather, and interestingly enough, in almost every Torah he mentions something from Sefer Yetzirah. And so the book is the Degel Machne Ephraim. So He brings this pasuk, and God says, you worship Hashem, your God, Hashem Elokeichem, and God will bless. And of course, the question is obvious why the beginning of the verse talks about the you in the plural, va'avadetem, and you plural will worship Hashem Elokeichem, your God. And then the blessing, uberach, God will bless, es lachmecho, you singular. It's meimecho, and your water, it doesn't say lachmechem, meimechem. So the Rebbe Ephraim says like this. In the Gemara, in Bava Metzia, it talks about poverty, it talks about how a person's supposed to treat their wife. Very interesting. The Gemara makes a connection between how we treat our spouse and what happens in the home. So the Gemara says, "Kadmishlem sa'ira mekade," when there's no wheat or barley left in the cask, "Romi tigre bebesa." So then you start to get fights in the at home, right? So on a simple level, what it means is that if there's a lot of dachkes in anias, if there's a lot of poverty in a home to the point where there's not enough to eat, or there's financial insecurity to that level where you don't know if you're going to have a meal, then there's a lot of tension. Romi tigre bebeisa means that people start to snap at each other. They start to fight. And the Gemara says that this is especially true of bread, you know, flour, of those carbs, more than anything else, right? That there's something about the grains that we come to rely on, and when you know that the grain bin, the barrel, whatever, whether it's empty, you know, it's not good. So the Rebbe Ephraim says, so ki hanias rachmona litzlan mevile de ketota meriva chalila, poverty brings people. It puts stress on relationships, and Rahmuna Litzlan, heaven help us, he said, you know, it can bring to arguing and fighting. Then he just makes this flight, and he says, V'chein hu beruchnius, and it's like this in the spiritual life too. V'ein oni ele bedas, it's possible to have poverty, just as you can have financial insecurity, you can have poverty and hunger and so on in the physical world, you can have it in your spiritual world. And then you end up with fighting. Kedisa b'tikunim, and in the Tikune Zohar, there's quite a lot of mention of the idea of riv, of fighting. And one of the names in the Tikune Zohar, one of the names of the Shekhinah is riv, which means to argue. Me merivo, these are the waters of the argument, and so on. This, the word riv occurs in the Torah. It says ki yarivu anoshim, if people are fighting, then they have to bring their fights in front of the kohanim, in front of the judges, and so forth. And he brings a posuk that the Tikune Zohar brings from a posuk in Micha. Shimu horim esriv Hashem, listen, mountains, to the fight, to the argument of God. V'ho esonim moiste oretz, and the powerful ones, those who are strong in the land. Ki riv Lashem im amoy, because God has an argument with his people, ve'im Yisrael, and with Yisrael. So the Tikune Zohar says the word esonim is tanoim, right? So the biggest arguments that we find among Jews are those arguments of Shammai and Hillel that we find in the beginning of the Mishnah, and that's how the Mishnaic period manifests, with the fighting between the different schools. So those fights are in the intellectual world. They mirror the fighting that happens when there's a poverty in the house. When poverty in the house, you get tension. People snap at each other. People are fighting. So the Tikune Zohar says that on the intellectual level, as Jews, we had fights. And then the Tikune Zohar says, but on a spiritual level, the word Riv stands for the Shekhinah. Shekhinah nikras Riv. Why? Shehu yudala va'aniya begalusa, because the Shekhinah is in Golus. The Shekhinah is in exile. Nu? If you're in exile, so it means that the Shekhinah is not getting all her needs met. She's not getting all her needs met, she starts to fight with her husband. Then we, the children, are in the house. So we're between dad and mom, and it's like it's not nice. Things going on, that is like it's... So, just to put it in perspective, you know, we could go, this image that the Tikune Zohar is putting out, but that the Rebbe Ephraim, the Degen Machne Ephraim here is running with, you know, is like a really, it's a really basic image, but we can't really get caught up too much in this idea of a split, you know, into a male god called Hashem, and then this female goddess called the Shekhinah that are, you know, separated from one another, because, you know, it's really, if we go too far with that, we end up with a duality, and it's one of the problems that the Kabbalah brings to Judaism as part of its endowment, as part of its nadin, the dowry that mysticism has brought to Judaism, is also, you know, problematic, because you know, we're entering an area of duality. In fact, it goes even further, because we, the Jewish people, then make it into a trinity. You have Kidshei Brichu, Shchinte, and Yisrael, and so I want to, maybe as we learn this, just to suggest that we are the Shekhinah, or that the Torah is the Shekhinah, because it really, the metaphor works best if we don't think of God as being split, but if we think of ourselves as being the other side of God. We human beings, we are the other side of God. We're the Shekhinah. And God is cut off from us and we're cut off from Him because, you know, God is not revealed. God's hidden in the world somehow. And we don't find Him, you know. We don't look at the advert on the side of the bus and say, "Oh, God," right? The way we do, we look at a beautiful sunset, you know. We don't look at another person that we meet on the street and say, "Oh, look, the face of God," the way we do when we look into the face of a child or so forth. So really, the way to understand this Torah is that we, the Jewish people, are in exile, and therefore the Shekhinah is in exile. And because the Shekhinah is in exile, so there's a fight. Because the Shekhinah is not getting her needs met. And so there's fighting because the barrel of wheat is empty. So then he says, "Kishe'odam oivedus Hashem be'emes," if a person is really worshipping God, "li'ichud shem kitzur b'richas shchinta," because he wants to unite God and the Shekhinah, and to raise the Shekhinah from the earth, then he takes the word riv, fight, and he turns it into Rebbe. And this also comes from the Tikkuni Zohar, that the word Riv and the word Rebbe are the same word. And Riv means fight, and Rebbe means Rebbe, right? And it's really just the flip side. One is the flip side of the other. And he says, "V'soid Rebbe," what is a Rebbe? He says, My holy sainted grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, told me that it's Chochmah and Bina with the Neviu, with the flow. The idea of Rebbe is that something, to be a Rebbe, something happens in your brain. And your brain becomes the seat for the divine, and so you have the Resh and the Base, and between it flows the Yud. I think that's what whether it's the Resh and the Base from which flow the Yud, or the Base and the Yud from which flows the Resh, or the Base and the Resh and the Yud from which, I don't know, you know, because he doesn't make it clear. But that's what it seems to me. If somebody tells me that the Base stands for Chochmah and the Resh stands for Bina, and then the whatever system works for you. But the Baal Shem Tov said that's the meaning of Rebbe. The meaning of Rebbe is that the two sides of the brain are working in harmony. And you know, I was saying to somebody this week, last week, what's the meaning? What's the Baal Shem Tov? What was his greatness? You think we didn't have scholars before the Baal Shem Tov? You think in Vilna and in Brod and in Kruke and Krakow and places all over, and in Presburg, there wasn't Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbonim, who are greater than you could find in the Ukraine? What was it about the Baal Shem Tov that he turned on these people and made them into Rebbes? What was it? Was it magic? He just helped each person, even if they weren't a scholar. He helped each person become whole. So their mind wasn't fighting with itself all the time. It made people realize who they are. That's all. That's the greatness of the Baal Shem Tov. And that, how do you make a Rebbe? You put somebody in touch with himself. We're all Rebbes. Well, because what is the meaning of Rebbe, says the Baal Shem Tov? It's when your Chochmah and your Bina are working together, and they flow, the Nevioi, that Neivea, just flows out from between them. Then you're a Rebbe. And how does it happen that your two brains are working in tandem, you know, working together, as opposed to fighting with each other? It's because God is inside your mind. So, how do you achieve it? No. You come in touch with somebody who shows you who you are. That's all. That was a Chochmah the Baal Shem Tov. You know, and we don't even want to acknowledge that today because it's too simple, right? We have to make it like the Baal Shem Tov was a great teacher, and so he was a Rebbe. That's all he was. He was a Rebbe, which means that his mind was whole. And out from it flowed God, right? So he says, Mavua b'shem Adonai v'zkeni, Rebbe Ephraim says, this is how it's clear from my Zayde, the Baal Shem Tov, that Rebbe is the soid, the mystery of Rebbe is Chochma Abino im Hanaviu. Chochma and Bino with the flow that comes between them. So, Bevadai, he says, obviously, Ein Yichud Elodas, when the two minds are working together, Chochma and Bina, they come together, that's Das. Well, everybody knows Das is a sexual union. So if your mind, if you have a Rebbe mind, then you can connect God and the Shekhinah because you're in Das. So as soon as you're in Das, then you can bring the Shekhinah back up from the earth and connect her with her husband, who is God. V'hadas hu hamiyached amitin, it's Das, which is the unifier, the true unifier, because it contains Chochma and Bina. U'bedas chamorim chadorim yimlu, and it's with Das that all the rooms fill up. U'misham nimshech el ha-shechinah kav yochan, and that just connects with the Shechinah. Ki yidua. And then he says, v'eini esik benistores, which is, unlocks for me what's the meaning of that phrase. Eini esik benistores, I have no business with mysteries, right? So the Degen Machne Ephraim says, you know, I can't tell you anymore because I don't know anymore because it's not my business to get involved in the yichud of God and his Shekhinah. That's already, those are mysteries. But I can tell you about the mechanics, just like, you know, you can discuss what a man and woman do together without feeling it, right? You know, so like, I can't tell you what it's, the nistar, I can't tell you. I can tell you that this is how it happens, that the Chochem becomes the Rebbe, and the Rebbe, in the Rebbe, he becomes whole, his two minds start working together. Out comes this flow, which is Das, because his Chochma and Bina are commingling, and so he's able to connect with the Shekhinah, so he turns from Riv, from fighting, and the fighting which came about because there wasn't anything to eat, now becomes Rebbe, and so the Rebbe becomes the opposite of the Riv, of the fight. V'nishkat ha-Riv, V'nismalu kol ha'olam es bebechinas Rebbe, then all the Riv is over, the fighting is over, and all the worlds become filled with this concept of Rebbe. Shu bechinas moichin, which is the minds, hanoivin, which are flowing. V'chein hu bo'odam proti, he says this is not just like on a cosmic level, but it's in a person, in an individual. K'shem isboinem b'shiflusoi, if a person starts to think about, oi, who am I? And he starts to realize how far he is from who is really capable of being, right? When I start to think of all the shortcuts that I take in the davening and in the kashrus and in Shabbos and all the things that I do in my life, and I start, oi, vibinach, v'chasroinoi, and I start to think about all the flaws in my character and so forth. U'begadlus haboira, and I start to think about the Rebbeinu Shalom's greatness, Baruch Hu. And the light of the Torah that exists, if only I could connect with it. Because that light really could open me up, infinite. Rebbe Ephraim says, and if a person starts to think, Oy Rebbeinu Shloilem, I long for you so much, and I miss you so much. Lirois is Shashuav. You know what I would really like, Rabbeinu Shalom, and we've come back to this many, many, many times, that what was it Avraham Avinu says, Rabbeinu Shalom, why don't you just show yourself in the world? Have a little fun. So a person sits and he thinks to himself, you know what, it's not about me, but Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, the world is in so much pain because you don't show yourself. Why don't you show yourself? First, the world would be in less pain, and then you, God, just, you know, what's holding you back? And a person wants to be a God worshipper, real, honest, emes, real, real, who believes sholem with a complete whole heart. So what is it then? If I'm thinking, Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to be Findana mentioned, I want to be one of your people, then really I'm saying to God, I want to be your best man, right? I want to be on your team. I want to be your propaganda minister. I want to be your minister of sewers and of communication. I want to be your minister of whatever it is that you need, Rabbeinu Shalom. I want to be, you know, I want to bring you down to the world so that people can get to know you, right? I want to be part of that. That is, I know that's what my why I'm here in the world, right? Not for me, but for you. So Rabbeinu Shalom, please let me do something for you, right? Then you become Shishvina Demalka, and you know, a marriage, you have the best man, and you have the best man's, you know, all the friends who are around the chosen, and they're called Shishvina Demalka. And then the Kala, she has her maids, maid of honor, bridesmaids, and so on, they're called Shishvina Dematranis, right? So as soon as I'm on God's team, I become Shishvina Demalka. When a person starts to think about wanting to be on God's team, he starts to think, but you know, I know why I'm not. I'm not because, you know, of who I am. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, what did I do? How did I get here? And so the Freim says, in that moment, when a person feels so broken and unfitting to be the representative, the best man who stands next to God under the chuppah and hands God the ring and holds the coat, you know, and so forth. The person thinks to himself, Nebuch, I'm so broken, you know. My whole life I didn't learn. My whole life I didn't daven. In that moment, what happens is the Shekhinah, the feminine who is in the Golas, so like all the Jewish people wrap themselves in that person in that moment. The whole Jewish people from 2,000 years who are broken and feel the way he's feeling wrap themselves in this person in that moment. And so in that moment, he doesn't just become the Shishvina de Malke, the best man on God's team, but he's also bringing with him the Kala, the bride, and he becomes the Shishvina de Matronisa. And then what happens when he's speaking from his brokenness, who is speaking out of his mouth? When a person feels unworthy of being on God's team and he's, you know, thinking, Oy, Rabbeinu Shalom, if only I could be one of your Dana Menschen, then it's the Shekhinah that's speaking out from inside him who is so broken. Because the Shekhinah is called Tefillah. She is prayer. So what happens when a person comes to God wanting to be on God's team, and with them they're schlepping the Shekhinah? No, at that moment God says, no. So he opens up Heichalin, he opens up all the rooms, as we learn in the Tikkun. So at that moment, God becomes the Rebbe. God enters the mind of this person in the Chochmah and the Bin and the flow. Lilmoy de lelamed esaniyim esamim vakshim dvar Hashem. Because what did this person come to God? He said, Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to be your person. So Rabbeinu Shalom says, okay, be my person. And Rabbeinu Shalom comes into this person and becomes the Rebbe of this person. So the person then becomes a Rebbe of all the Jewish people. And that's really, the Rebbe Freim here is discussing and it's really revealing all the secrets of his Zayda, the Baal Shem Tov, how the Baal Shem Tov made Yidden into Rebbes. It's an unbelievable Torah here. And then, I mean, the Torah is a long Torah, just to bring it back to the original. V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, if you worship Hashem Elokeichem, uberech es lachmecho, refers to a wife. She's called Lechem. You know, Yosef says to Potiphar, you know, my master doesn't hold back from me anything except the bread that he eats, Lechem. Right? And the Mayim, God says, I will bless your water. Water is pleasure. Says, so there's four things the Torah tells us if there will be a riv, if there'll be a fight. Ben dam le dam and ben nega le nega. If a person doesn't know whether this is blood tahor or blood tamei, or if this is a nega, if this is a tzaras, a plague or not a plague. So we've got Riv, which then becomes Rebbe. We've got Nega, says Ephraim, which becomes Oineg, pleasure. We've got Dam, which becomes Adam. So we can turn everything over. We can turn everything over. All we have to do is turn over the Riv into Reb. That's really the secret, says the Baal Shem Tov. To make Rebbes, to become a Rebbe and to make a Rebbe. Nope.